Tony had not moved from the spot Sally had told her to stay in.
Oh, they came so close, I thought for sure they would see me. I could hear them talking. They were saying vulgar, filthy things about what they would do to the women once they found us. Oh, I've never heard such disgusting things.
They're not going to do anything to us. Put these jeans on while I go through the supplies I brought back. Go on, Tony, do it.
Deep inside, Sally knew that the men would be back to search the area again. And this search would be much more thorough this time, probably with men on foot. But she didn't share that with Tony. Clint Black stood in the big family room of his house and glared at his foreman, Judd Howes. He got his temper back under control and took several deep breaths.
You're certain that none of the bodies found were those of women?
Positive, boss. We checked real close, all men and boys.
And the bodies have been disposed of?
They'll never be found.
What'd you do with them?
Put them in Jackson's cave, way back in there. I'll take dynamite up there later and seal the entrance.
That's good. But be sure you do that, Judd. The cattle?
They're scattered from one end of that valley to the other, boss. It'll take every hand we got a good 2-3 weeks to round them all up.
We'll deal with that problem later. Just be sure that no one enters that area till we're done.
Right, boss. I got them covered.
Get every hand we can spare in there. Search that area, find those damn people, and kill them.
Right, boss. One thing puzzles me, though. Some of the guys we found didn't have no pants on.
Probably didn't have time to pull them on, don't you imagine?
Oh, yeah. We hit them hard and fast, for a fact.
Get busy, Judd. Let's wrap this thing up and put it behind us.
Smoke rested the rest of that day, tended to his wounds and bruises. There was a bottle of horse liniment in the dead raider's saddlebags, the one with the busted head, and Smoke treated his bruises with that. He bathed his splinter wound and bound it with a strip of the dead man's shirt once it had dried after Smoke washed it in the stream. One of the night herder's horses had found him, seeking human company. Smoke found a pair of fresh socks and some .44 rounds in the saddlebags. As soon as the sun went down, Smoke went on the prod. When he drew close to the dot of flames from the campfire, he moved into the timber and snuck his way close to the camp. Four men sat around the fire. A real stupid thing to do because it destroyed their night vision. But that didn't make any difference because in about 30 seconds, the only thing they were going to be seeing was hell. Smoke lifted his rifle. Smoke ran toward the fire and the food and the dead and dying bodies. He stripped the bodies of weapons and ammo.
Ah, damn your eyes!
Burn in hell, you fucking murderer.
Then, as that raider lay bleeding and dying by the fire, Smoke took two thick slices of bread, made a sandwich of the bacon, and dug into the beans. Then calmly poured himself a cup of coffee.
You ain't human! Oh!
Another wolf across the valley joined in the night's chorus as the raider lay on the ground, his eyes wide in astonishment. And then, wide in death. A mile away, Sally smiled.
That first call was no wolf. That was Smoke. He's alive.
Judd was the first to reach the death scene. He looked at the four men sprawled in their own blood.
Son of a bitch.
Judd, I was cooking beans when I was over here.
So what?
See, the pot's gone. Whoever done this took their guns and these bean pots.
I think we're in trouble, Cleon. Big trouble. I don't think that body Fatso thought was Jensen was really him. I think Jensen's out yonder. I think that was Jensen howling like a lobo.
Ain't but one man, Judd, and we got 50 men.
46.
Judd Howes rode hard for the ranch. Clint had to be informed of this new development. With Jensen alive, that really put a fly in the ointment. Judd had heard about that crazy German fella who chased Smoke all over the country with a passel of hired gunslingers helping him, hunting Jensen like you would an animal. Smoke had turned the whole damn thing around, and the hunters became the hunted in the deadliest game they'd ever found themselves in. Jensen won.
Damn! I wish that fool Bayless had stayed down in Wyoming and kept his mouth shut.
Harvey held the limb back with his good arm, but if that rider didn't come on, he was going to have to turn loose. His arm was trembling from the strain. The Circle 45 hand looked around, appeared satisfied that this area was clean, and rode on. Harvey released the thick limb, and the green springy wood impacted with the raider's face. Harvey grabbed the reins and calmed the spooked horse.
Easy, big fella, easy.
He limped over to the unconscious raider and ripped off his gun belt, slinging it around his own waist. He took the Winchester from the boot and removed the saddlebags and canteen. He turned around and almost missed his long handles when he saw a man standing a few yards away. The Colt leaped into his hand, and he almost killed a friend.
Oh, Harvey! For God's sake, man, don't shoot!
Jesus, Tim. I'm sorry, boy.
You alone?
Got Jeff with me. He's got a slug in his leg, but I don't think it's broke. Come on, help me tie this no-count in the saddle.
They took the raider's blanket and ground sheet, tied him belly across the saddle, and slapped the horse on the rump. The animal went bumping out of the timber and loping across the meadow.
There's many tracks that there is out yonder. They'll have a hard time trying to track that horse back to us. You got a good hole to hide in.
You bet. Come on.
Smoke sighted in the rider. Three Circle 45 riders came pounding to the scene, which told Smoke they didn't have a whole hell of a lot of sense. The third rider laid on his horse's neck and got the hell gone from that place. Smoke ran down the slope, ripped gun belts from the three, and gathered up the reins and ran back up the slope into the timber. He quickly roped the horses together, mounted up, and changed locations, moving about a mile before he once more left the saddle and got into position behind some rock, an earthen embankment behind him.
Mr. Smoke?
Smoke turned his head and looked up into the pale face of Bobby, peering over the lip of the embankment.
You're pretty good, Bobby. Not many men could have engined up on me.
I didn't, sir. I was laying up here watching. I got Louie, Dan, Sonny, and Guy hid out in a blowdown about 500 yards from here.
Good. Good. Take those guns I've got looped on the saddle horns and those canteens of food and bedrolls. Get back in there and stay put. Don't use those guns unless the night riders are right up on you and there's no way out. I know where you are now, and I'll be back. We'll get out of this, Bobby. I promise you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Smoke. I'm gone.
Jean rose up to her knees just as the unshaven lout spotted her and opened his mouth to yell. She threw the butcher knife with all her strength, and in a stunned Jean watched as the blade buried itself in the rider's shoulder. The scream startled the horse. The animal took off like a lightning bolt, the rider holding on. Jean ran to the gun, picked it up, and cocked it. The slug nicked the horse on the butt, and he pinched the rider. The Circle 45 hand landed on his head, breaking his neck. Jean ran to the man. Fighting back waves of nausea at the sight of the corpse, she jerked off the man's gun belt and ran back into the timber.
Hey, Missy!
Oh, Denver!
Denver hobbled painfully toward her.
Oh, my God!
Oh, hush now, Missy. We're all right. We made it. Them hands done been called back to the barn, so to speak. Smoke's been raising hobbin' hell with him. I think I know where he is. Come on.
By mid-afternoon, the Circle 45 riders had given up the hunt and pulled out of the area. Smoke decided that he would go and get the surviving boys and ride back to the ambush site. Knowing Sally, he had a feeling that she would realize that the riders were leaving as well, and that would be the first place she would go. Along the way, Smoke was hailed by Tim, Harvey, and Jeff. They joined the group as well and made their way back to the site. Sure enough, when Smoke's group rode into the small clearing, Sally, Tony, and Jean were there waiting for him.
Sally!
Smoke!
Smoke and Sally held on to each other for a long moment. Then they pulled back and smiled for a second. Sally sobered her smile.
This is all that survived?
Yeah. We lost 13 all told.
The boys?
Willie, Jake, and Rabbit. They dragged Rabbit. The cattle trampled Elton. I recognized him by a boot. The herd got Willie. He was wearing overalls. Duke had been shot a dozen times in the back. Shorty made a stand of it, and he probably got lead in a few of them. Davey took a slug through the head. Johnson made a fight of it. Nate and Little Ben fought them to the end.
I found Jake's body. They shot him in the belly. He died hard.
I found one of the men. I changed into his clothing. I'm sorry. I didn't even know his name, only his face.
He'd be honored to have you wearing his duds, ma'am.
Well, we found several cases of food, boss. I reckon them raiders didn't do a good job of searching. And I dragged a big coffee pot out, and we'll have some coffee directly.
Good. You boys scrounge around and see what pots and pans you can come up with. Tim, ride over to that little bunch of cattle over there and cut one out and butcher it. We'll have steaks, if nothing else. Sally, take a look at my shoulder, and then we'll cut the slug out of Jeff's leg.
What? Why did they attack us? Why?
To kill you, get the cattle, and take possession of your ranch. By the time your eastern attorneys got wind of your deaths, and that might take months, and found their way out here, everything would be settled. False bill of sale, the whole bit.
The man is mad.
No, he's not crazy. He's just ruthless and greedy. Clint probably thinks he's got us trapped in here. But there are ways out he doesn't know of. A cowboy will explore as long as he can do it sitting in leather. But walking for long distances is not something he's real fond of doing. They'll have the north and south ends guarded. They'll be guarding the trail that you ladies use coming in. And they'll have that notch over there on that other side guarded. But there are other ways in and out. We'll just have to find them.
And you are confident that you will be able to do that?
I'm confident that I will find a way out of this valley. I'm confident that I will get us out. And I am confident that I will kill that dirty son who ambushed us.
Coffee's ready.
I found her saddles. Them raiders wasn't going to burn no good leather. They was going to keep them for personal use, including our saddlebags.
One more mistake Clint made.
You damn fool, don't you realize what you've done?
Clint lazily lifted a hand and waved it off.
No, Clint, you can't wave this off. The times and the ways may have changed somewhat in the West, but the treatment of women is not. You even had four of your rowdies ride out when you told them of this ambush. Oh, I don't think they'll talk about it. They were loyal to the brand, but you put something into motion that's like an avalanche. Can't be stopped. It's got to come crashing down and run its course.
You worry too much.
Smoke Jensen. My God, man, of all the herds to strike at, you pick one belonging to Smoke Jensen?
Clint looked at his brother.
What, you know him, Harris?
Not personal, but I saw him in action one time down in Colorado. The man is awesome. He's fearless. There ain't a nerve in his body. You can't beat him with guns. You can't beat him with fists.
I've never seen the man I couldn't stomp into the ground.
Don't try, Smoke Jensen. I thought we agreed the lawlessness was to end.
You going soft on me, brother?
You know better. But times are changing, and you're not changing with them. I say that in 10 years, we'll be a state. And with that comes a state police force and better law enforcement. I don't know how we can cover this up, Clint.
We'll kill the rest of them in the valley. It's simple.
Women and boys, Clint? No. This ends now. You...
God damn you! Don't you be giving no orders to me. I put you in office. I can take you away.
The people elected me, Clint. Yeah. Yeah, you hung this badge on me years back. But then we held elections, and the people voted on who they wanted to be their sheriff, and they chose me. It's taken me 10 years to weed the deputies loyal to you out of my department. But I did it. And now you, by God, are gonna listen to me. I'll cover for you just this one time. Then it's over. I'll not cover for you again.
All right, Harris. Lay it out.
Taking a posse out to the valley this afternoon. All your rowdy hands had better be gone from the passes. Where are the bodies dumped?
I don't know what they done with them.
Now listen to the survivors' stories. Probably hear that brand of the night rider's horses was Circle 45, since you gave me a report stating that a number of horses were stolen from you the other night. I'll apologize to the survivors. Smoke Jensen won't buy it, and he might come looking for you. I don't know. But if he calls you out, I won't interfere. The war is over, Clint. The lawlessness is over. I won't stand for it. I never liked your high-handed, rough-riding ways. You're not the Almighty, no matter what you think. I got a tarnish on my name just from being your brother. I'm gonna clear my name as best as I can. Seeing you behind bars won't bring back the dead out there in that valley. Those boys that came along for a summer's adventure. I don't see how you sleep at night. I can't undo what you and your men have done, but I can, by God, see that it will never happen again. And I mean it, Clint. I mean it. I don't want to have to lock you up, but I will. After this day, I told the last lie for you. You and me, we're flesh and blood, Clint. But you took a wrong road. You and me, Clint, we took separate trails. And Clint, don't ever think you're better with a gun than I am. I'll shoot your ears off you if you ever drag iron against me.
Tim was currently standing guard over the small encampment.
Riders coming, boss! I think it's the law!
Is this Harris Black as bad as his brother?
Some say yes, others say no.
He was elected by a clear majority of the people.
The sheriff and four tough-looking deputies rode up to the ambush site and dismounted. They all took off their hats in deference to the ladies, and then they all stared briefly at the ladies dressed in men's clothing.
Somebody tell me what happened.
That murderous brother of yours sent hooded night riders against us. They stampeded the herd and killed more than a dozen men and boys.
If they were hooded, ma'am, how do you know they were from the Circle 45?
By the brands on the horses.
Clint Black reports horses stolen from him the other night. That might account for it. And I said might. I saw you once or twice. You'd be Smoke Jensen.
That's right. And the hands that were murdered work for me. Three of them young boys. It takes a brave man to attack women and children. The boys, I'd like to add, were unarmed. I saw to that on the trail.
How did you hear about this, Sheriff?
My brother told me.
And you intend to do what about it?
See that it never happens again. And if it does, it'll be only over my dead body. Now these deputies will stay out here with you to see your safety. You feed them right and they'll probably help you around your stock and get it over to the Double D. Your place is all right, Miss Tony, Miss Jean. I checked on that coming out.
Thank you, Sheriff. I just may have to revise my opinion of you.
Harris nodded his head, but he chose not to reply to that.
Start rounding up the cattle, boys. Dan and Guy, you'll come with me into town at first light. We'll rent a wagon, haul back supplies.
Supplies will be paid for, Mr. Jensen. I've seen to that. Whatever you need, just pick up and lay on the counter at Hanlon's Emporium. Leather goods and clothing and guns and so forth is waiting for you at shops all over town. There are rooms at no cost for you at the hotel.
You're real fond of your brother, Sheriff.
I wonder now if I ever even liked him. Why do you ask?
Because it's real easy to prove that your brother sent his hands to ambush us.
He lost...
Yeah, and I got him laid real neat, all in a row, about a half mile from where we're standing.
Why are you telling me this?
So you can take a probably much-needed vacation.
I don't think I like that idea.
Sheriff, I can have 25 or so of the randiest old gunfighters the West has ever known in here in a week. I can travel about 50 miles from where we're standing and round up just about that many old mountain men. They raised me, Sheriff. Or helped to. You don't think those men would like to go out of this life in a blaze of glory? Think again. My neighbor down in Colorado is Johnny North. The sheriff is Monte Carson. One of my best friends in this world is Louis Longmont. I'm friends with the Mexican gunfighters Carbone and Martine. Cotton Pickens is a friend of mine. Do you want me to continue this list, Sheriff?
It won't be necessary.
What I'm going to do, Sheriff, is this. I'm going into the horse breeding business. So I think I'll just stick around this part of the country looking at horses. And while I'm here, I'll just act as the foreman of the Double D. I'll do the hiring. After I sent a few telegrams for hands. Hands, Sheriff. Hands, not gunfighters. Just good, steady cowboys who ride for the brand. You know the type, don't you? I figure that there are probably 200 head of cattle. Maybe more than that, that were injured so badly in the stampede they'll die or have to be destroyed. I expect your brother to replace every one of them. And make sure that a half dozen of them are bulls.
The sheriff looked at Smoke for a moment, then shrugged his shoulders philosophically.
Your brother have many gun slicks on his payroll?
Most of them are gun hands, or fancy themselves as such. I got out of that business before the name stuck to me.
Yeah, I know, Sandy.
I wondered if you recognized me. I was hoping you wouldn't.
It's safe with me. Gunslicks and cattle aren't a good mix. What's your brother doing about branding and roping and night herding and such?
He sold off most of his herd.
And had plans to seize this one.
Your words, not mine.
Your eyes gave you away.
I'm hoping my brother will pull his horns and get straightened out.
Too late.
Why?
Because I'm gonna kill him, that's why.
The blunt statement from Smoke had shocked Harris. He was still thinking about it as he rode back to town. Blood was thick, yeah, but on the practical side of it, he could not be angry with Jensen for going after his brother. His brother had plotted the cold-blooded murder of over a dozen men and boys and had planned on killing three women. That was inexcusable and unforgivable in a country where even a careless remark to a lady or a slight jostling of a woman on the street could culminate in a killing. It had been the matter-of-fact and careless way Smoke had stated his intentions that had shocked Harris. He had spoken the words with no more emotion than if he had said he was going to kill a rattlesnake. Well, his brother could be compared to a rattlesnake, he supposed. Harris was still ruminating on the subject when he swung down in front of his office. His one remaining deputy in town was sitting on the bench on the boardwalk.
Jensen gonna come hell for leather, Sheriff?
No, but he is gonna kill my brother. He told me so.
That's something that's past due.
Harris looked at the man. He couldn't even work up a slight anger at the words. Not anymore, because he knew how true they were. But it did hurt just a little. It was his baby brother. He'd been in another part of the West when Clint came into the area, and Harris still had never found out where and how his brother had started his empire. Probably with stolen cattle and killings. Harris had accepted the badge he now wore because he felt his brother was an honorable man. It didn't take him long to see how wrong he was. But still, he stuck it out while the town and the country grew, turning his back on his brother's schemes and cheating and the night riding of his men.
Pitiful sight out there, Harry. Make a man's blood run cold. And Jensen killed about a dozen of Clint's men. Had them all stretched out neat in a row for me to see. No question that Clint was behind it. Then he looked at me with those cold rattlesnake eyes and told me flat out he's gonna kill my brother.
And you said...
Nothing. I just walked off. Never met a man like Jensen before. And you can believe I've known some damn salty old boys in my time. I covered up a lot for Clint over the years. Nothing like this. I never covered up murder. That I know of. He's got all his hands ready to testify that no one left the ranch the night of the raid, and Clint's gonna say that he fired them dead hands a week before the raid. It'd be Jensen and them's word against 40 or more hands. No court would convict any of them. I don't know what to do, Harry.
You want a suggestion?
I'm open.
Back off. Don't get in Jensen's way. It's a hard thing to have to swallow, but your brother is no good. Now he's tangled with a man who don't have no backup in him, and who's got the wherewithal to stand tough. Don't get caught up in the middle of this.
I'm a poor excuse for a lawman, Harry.
That's not true. We got a good department. Judges have complimented you on your performance. There is a legal word for what you ought to do in this, but I can't think of it right off. It means to stay the hell out of it, or get someone else in here to handle it, or something like that.
I do that, it just proves that I'm not capable of sheriff in this county. But I think, Harry, there comes a time when the law's got to back off. Let men settle their own affairs. There ain't no law against men calling each other out. Not yet, anyways. If that happens, it happens. Tomorrow's gonna be an interesting day, I'm thinking.
The townspeople gathered on the boardwalks as the line of horses came walking slowly up the street. The bodies of the Circle 45 night riders were tied belly down across the saddles. It was not a pleasant sight, and the smell was more than slightly worse. Smoke stopped the grisly parade in the center of town and dumped the bodies in the dust of the street. The foreman of the Circle 45, Judd Howes, was standing under the awning in front of a saloon. Several of his men stood with him.
I'm Smoke Jensen. These dead men are or were, Circle 45 riders. They attacked our camp a couple of nights ago. They killed 10 of my men and murdered 3 young boys. They tried to kill the Dugan twins and my wife. Dispose of these bodies in a manner you see fit.
Smoke turned, spotted the horses wearing the Circle 45 brand, and lifted his eyes to the men in front of the saloon. They were fine animals, and the saddles were top quality.
Who rides these horses?
Me and these boys here.
Judd was thinking right now that this just might be his last day on Earth.
Write me out a bill of sale for them. All of them. Including the saddles and the rifles and the ropes.
Do what?
A lot of our stock was killed, run off, or maimed in that ambush the other night. I'm claiming these horses as part of the replacement. Now either write out a bill of sale or drag iron. Either way, it doesn't make a damn to me.
All right, Jensen. We didn't have nothing to do with that raid. But if you think these horses will help make up for your loss, you're welcome to them.
I'll be damned. I paid Clint $150 for that roan. That ain't no rough string horse. That's mine. And you can go to hell, Jensen. Oh!
Anybody else have any disagreements?
I said you could have them horses, Jensen. Soon as I can find pen and paper, I'll write out a bill of sale.
That's good. And you boys are gonna walk to the Circle 45.
We gonna do what?
I said you're gonna walk back. Because no one in this town is going to sell or loan you a horse. Now write out that bill of sale and start hoofing it. Now.
A shopkeeper came up with a tablet and a pen and ink. With a smile, he handed them to Judd. The smile infuriated Judd, but he wisely said nothing about it. Smoke couldn't hang around forever. Their day would come. He wrote out the bill of sale, waved the paper dry, and held it out to Smoke.
Start walking.
What about Ron?
Judd pointed to the dead Knight Rider.
Fuck Ron! And your boss will receive the bill of burying all these other fools. Now unbuckle your gun belts and let them fall. We lost guns in the raid, too. Do it, and then move out.
The astonished and mostly amused townspeople watched as the Circle 45 men dropped their gun belts and slowly stepped off the boardwalk and began the long trek back to their range. There would be several gun slicks soaking their blistered feet that night. The Undertaker strolled up and began measuring Ron for a box. Smoke turned to face the sheriff.
You said something about wagons to haul the supplies back.
Down at the livery. You do have a way of getting your point across, Smoke.
Yeah, I do, don't I?
Smoke walked into Hamlin's Emporium, where the boys Dan and Guy were waiting for him. A nervous Hamlin was behind the counter.
Ah, that was some shooting there, Mr. Jensen. Yes, sir. That's something I can tell my grandchildren about for sure. Anything you want in the store, sir, you and your hands just lay it out here on the counter and it's all taken care of. Yes, sir.
Smoke had taken all the raiders' guns, so they were high on guns and ammo and low and out of everything else. It didn't take long to fill the bed of the wagon.
Charge it all to my brother's account, Hanlon.
Yes, sir, Sheriff. I'll certainly do that.
Harris walked in and got him several crackers from the barrel and cut off a wedge. He looked at Smoke and held out the crackers and cheese.
Yeah, and the boys too, since your brother's buying.
Harris cut 2 more enormous slices for the boys and a smaller slice for Smoke.
Pickles in a barrel, boys. Help yourselves.
Smoke had noticed 2 hands lounging out front.
You know those fellas, Cher?
Oh, yeah, that's Ted and Stoney. Good punchers. They ride for the brand. They're out of work.
They can be trusted.
They hate my brother.
That's good enough for me. You boys looking for work?
Well, you bet we are, Mr. Jensen. I'm Stoney, and this terrible-looking fellow with the mop of red hair is Ted.
Smoke handed each of them $50. Their eyes kind of goggled out.
That's a bonus just for going to work for me. And after I'm gone, sticking with the Dugan twins at the Double D. Can you use those guns you're wearing?
We can hit what we're shooting at, Mr. Jensen. But we ain't gun hands.
That's fine. You got horses?
Well, we had to hock our saddles just to eat, Mr. Jensen, and we ain't done that in 2 days.
Get yourself some cheese and crackers and a pickle. Cut off a wedge for the trail while you're at it. Clint Black is paying for this treat.
then go down to the livery and rope out what you think you can ride. After that, ride escort for those boys and drive those horses with the 45 brand back to the valley.
Smoke handed him the bill of sale.
Pull the rig off that puncher I just shut off his horse, and one of you can use that. There are plenty of the other rigs across the street.
Why don't we just ride the 45 horses?
You can if you want, but there might be trouble in the days ahead.
I expect there will be, but we'll face that when the time comes.
Fine. Get yourself something to munch on.
Sally, Tony, and Gene had Smoke in the shopping list for new jeans and men's work shirts. If they ever rode into town decked out like that, they'd scandalize the territory. And they probably would ride in just like that. Do it for pure spite. The wagon was gonna be groaning and squeaking when it pulled out.
You're not riding back with the wagon?
No.
You're crowding Smoke, you know that?
I sure do.
What if my brother comes riding hell for leather into town with about 40 hands while you're here?
Be a hell of a fight.
You'd fight 40 men?
If they pushed me.
Exasperated, the sheriff stalked away. Smoke watched him go and smiled. He was walking back to his horse when he heard the thunder of hooves. He stowed the supplies in the wagon and stepped up onto the boardwalk in front of the Emporium.
His Majesty himself, Lord of the County, and all you can see, Clint Black and some of his gun slicks. I hate that son of a bitch.
Me too, Stoney. Me too.
Harris Black and his deputy suddenly appeared, walking up the boardwalk, both of them carrying sawed-off shotguns. Takes a mighty foolish man to go up against the sawed-off, and the sheriff knew it. Clint Black jerked and fought the reins and came to a dusty halt, facing the men on the boardwalk. His own riders stopped left and right of him. Smoke fanned the dust.
You always this inconsiderate of other people, Black?
I found my men hoofing it back to the ranch. You're Jensen, aren't you?
Yeah, Black. I'm Jensen. And yeah, I took your hands, horses. Got a clear title to them. And yeah, I put lead in some loudmouth named Ron.
That's it.
Harris cocked both hammers to the shotgun.
There'll be no trouble in this town. Damn you, Clint. I sent a note for you to stay clear of Blackstown. I know you can read because Mother taught us.
Me? You order me to stay clear? I built this town, damn you. I brought the people in. I brought the stage in. I own the bank.
Oh, that's something else that slipped my mind, Sheriff. You met my wife, Sally? Well, she's a woman of considerable wealth. Comes from a long line of bankers. And the Dugan twins, you know, I'm sure, are quite wealthy. So, we decided last evening that this town needs another bank. That empty building right over there will do nicely, I'm thinking. I've got to send a wire off and start making arrangements.
Clint looked like he was working himself up into a good case of apoplexy. His eyes were bugging out and his face was turning red.
Why are your ears red?
My ears are not red.
Oh, yes they are. Don't you think the man's ears are red, boys?
Sure are. Look at those two little jugs of beets. Well, maybe not so little.
Red as can be. Looks plumb funny to me.
And both of you saddle bumps, shut up! Another bank? You can't do that.
Who's gonna stop me? You?
Back off, Clint. If another bank wants to come in, there's nothing you can do about it. That understood?
How's the feet of your dehorsed boys?
Don't worry about it! I hear you're accusing me of raiding your camp. I didn't have a thing to do with that, Jensen. And if you say I did, you're a damn liar.
I say you did, Black. I say you gave the orders to kill men, women, and kids. And that makes you snaked low and dirty. You don't have the nerve to do your own fighting. You're a coward, Black. Step out of that saddle and fight me.
Take your men and get out of town, Clint. Right now. Leave now, or I'll put you in jail.
On what charge?
Refusing to obey the orders of a peace officer. Now take your men and leave. Jensen, you do the same. And do it right now.
All right.
Some other time, Black. Let's go, boys.
With his brother and his men heading in one direction and Smoke in his hands going in another, Harris eased the hammers down on the sawed-off and his deputy finally relaxed.
All you did was put it off for another time. It's bound to come.
Yeah, I know. But I got it out of town. My brother was scared this day. I saw fear in his face.
Hell, who wouldn't be scared? Jensen would have been killed for sure, but he would have emptied 8 or 9 saddles before he went down. A man that size can take a lot of lead.
What bothers me is that a scared man will do desperate things, Harry. My brother took water this day. I gave him a way out, but he still took water. He was shamed this day, and he'll not forget it. He's always a vain and vengeful person.
Well, like you say, we got it out of town.
Later that day, as Smoke and his group was riding back to the Valley of Death, Smoke trotted up next to his new hands.
You boys know of other men who might like a job?
Well, I know of a few, and I imagine Ted knows of several.
Ted nodded his head.
Okay, you two veer off now and find him. I'm offering top wages, best food you can ever put in your mouth.
Smoke dug in his pocket and handed Stoney a wad of bills.
How do you know we won't just take that money and clear out, Smoke? That's 2 years' pay for most hands.
I'm a good judge of character, Stoney. See you boys later on.
The new hands headed off, leaving Smoke and the boys in the heavily laden wagon. They showed back up at the camp in the valley just at sundown. They brought with them the most disreputable-looking bunch of men Tony and Gene had ever seen. Now, Sally had lived nearly all her adult life in the West, and she knew that appearances could be very deceiving out here. She suspected these new men were top hands who, for whatever reason, had been blackballed for employment in this area by Clint Black. Turned out she was right.
We just didn't cotton to taking orders from the likes of Clint Black and Judd Howes and that pack of gunslingers they got working out the Circle 45.
The man named Waymore accepted a plate of food.
These other smaller ranches scattered all over this country, but Clint's got them buffaloed. Didn't none of them dare hire us. We don't hold no grudges against them for it. Man has his entire life put into a small spread. Well, he can't stand up to a rich and mean person that has 40 or 50 gun slicks on the payroll. Or men who fancy themselves slick with a shotgun.
Mighty good grub. Best I think I ever ate.
When was the last time you did, eat, Mr. Malvern?
Oh, just Malvern, ma'am. Mal for short. Oh, I've been eating regular. Seems as how one of Mr. High and Mighty Clint Black's cows wandered over to my place and fell down. Broke its leg. And I had to put the poor thing out of its misery. It was a Christian thing to do. I can't stand to see no animals suffer. And it seemed right foolish of me to just let all that meat go to waste. So I butchered it and ate some and smoked and jerked the rest. Then, lo and behold, about a week later, darned if another one of Mr. Black's cows didn't come over to my place and fall down. Right in the same spot. Poor thing broke its leg. Well, I had to end its suffering, so I shot it too. This has been going on for about 6 months. Now, since Mr. Big Shot Black has forbidden me from ever setting foot on his land, there just was no way I could get word to him about his cows. It's really put me in a state of confusion, and I do try to do right by my fellow man, ma'am.
You, Mr. Malvern, tell big whackers.
Occasional I do, Miss Tony. Occasional indeed I do.
The next week went by in a blur of work, with everybody who was able pitching in and rounding up cattle and stampeded horses. Smoke would work until noon and then go off exploring. The bodies of his men had to have been dumped somewhere, and he was determined to find that location. On the afternoon of the seventh day, he found a boot. Smoke swung down from the saddle and knelt by the ripped boot. Ran his hands over the dead leaves that were all around it.
Dead leaves in the middle of summer.
Smoke swept them away and looked at the clear impression of hooves. Leading his horse, he began following the trail of dead leaves that led upward. Someone had gathered up great handfuls of leaves and scattered them over the tracks. He climbed on. Now he could clearly see the tracks of horses, and something else, too. Clear path where bodies had been dragged up this way. It had gotten back to Smoke that Clint had been saying Smoke had made the attack up, that there were no bodies, so how could an attack ever have taken place? Smoke began carefully looking around him as he moved along the ridge. Here the trail was harder to follow because of the rocks. But then the smell of death reached him. He picketed his horse on a small stand of grass and walked on. The smell growing stronger. He could see the mouth of the cave now, and he walked to it. The smell was very near overpowering. He picked up a dry branch and tied twigs to the end of it, using some dead vines, and then lighted the brand. It would only burn for 2 or 3 minutes, but that would be time aplenty. Smoke stepped into the mouth of the cave and almost lost his lunch. He struggled to keep it down. Smoke walked into the foul semi-gloom. He didn't have to walk far. The first body he found was that of 14-year-old Rabbit. Then he saw the others, all piled like garbage. Smoke walked back out into the sweet air. He was sweating and mad clear through. He stood for a moment, composing himself. And then he rode back down to the valley, stopping the first hand he found.
Cletus, ride for town and fetch the sheriff. Tell him I found the bodies of my men and boys.
It was late afternoon when the sheriff arrived, and growing dark when Smoke pointed out the cave.
I hope you have a strong stomach. You're gonna need it.
The sheriff and two of his deputies lit torches and stepped inside. Harry came out much quicker than he entered, kneeling by the side of the mouth of the cave. Harris Black came out next. He was badly shaken by what he'd just seen. He leaned against a tree and struggled to regain his composure.
I'll bring Doc Garrett out with me in the morning. I want him to see this and write up a report. Oh, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Horrible.
Maybe this will shut your brother's mouth. You know he's responsible for this, don't you, Sheriff?
Harris remained silent.
How long are you going to keep covering for him, Sheriff? How long?
Harris wiped his sweaty face with a handkerchief, wiped the sweatband of his hat, and plopped it back on his head.
I won't stand for vigilante action, Smoke.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of that, Sheriff. Your brother has already cornered the market.
Smoke left the rounding up of the cattle in the hands of the men. He kissed Sally and saddled up the next morning. No one spoke to him. No one had to. Nearly everyone in the camp knew what he was going to do. His face was hard and uncompromising as he swung up into the saddle.
What is he going to do, Sally?
He's going to make war, Gene.
By himself?
Smoke Jensen's a one-man army, Missy. He's tooken on meaner odds than this. Besides, this is real personal for him. He feels responsible for what happened to them men, especially the boys.
But if it's anyone's fault, it's ours.
No, it ain't neither. And don't you be thinking that.
Denver is right. You had no way of knowing something like this would happen. Neither did we. Only Clint Black and his men had knowledge of it. The responsibility for it lies squarely on their shoulders. I think Sheriff Black is covering for his brother, but I don't believe he knew about the ambush until after it happened.
You don't appear to be worried about your husband.
Oh, I'm plenty worried about him. I would have been shocked had he not. He's waited a week for the law to do something. The law has done nothing. Now Smoke will see to the administering of justice, the Western way.
There was something about the way he sat that horse, something about his bearing, that cleared the streets of Blackstown the instant he rode in. Smoke stabled his horse and checked his guns. He had seen horses at the hitch rail in front of the saloon, horses that wore the Circle 45 brand. He walked slowly up the boardwalk. Sheriff Black stepped out of his office, blocking Smoke's way.
Going somewhere, Smoke?
To the saloon for a drink. You have some objections to me doing that, Sheriff?
Damn it, Jensen, you know there are Circle 45 hands over there.
It's a free country.
You know what I mean.
The services for the dead will be at sundown this evening, Sheriff. You plan to attend?
Which dead? The dead found in the cave, or the men you're about to kill?
I waited for the law to act. The law did nothing. You know your brother ordered that ambush, and you know that all the Circle 45 hands either took part in it or had direct knowledge of it. Now you either stand aside, or you help me kill dangerous rabid animals. You really don't want to get in my way, Sandy. The choice is yours to make.
Oh, go stomp on your snakes, Jensen.
Harris turned and walked back into his office. Smoke walked on up the street, then cut across to the other side, approaching the saloon from the one side that butted up against another building. He pushed open the back wings and stepped inside. Four men sat at a table, drinking beer and playing cards. Everybody else had vacated the saloon at the news of Smoke Jensen riding into town. Only the barkeep was left, and he was so scared he looked like he was going to pass out any moment. Smoke put his hand on a chair back.
You boys dumb enough to ride a Circle 45 horse?
The card players sat quietly, their hands on the table. They knew better than to have him by their sides when Jensen walked in, because he was on the prod.
We're riding him? Yeah.
Did you steal him, or are you on Clint Black's payroll?
We ride for the Circle 45, and we've been riding for Clint for a long time.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact, Jensen.
Smoke hit the hand in the face with a hickory chair. Holding the back rail of the busted chair, Smoke hit another hand smack in the mouth. Then bounced the hickory off the noggin of a third. The fourth jumped up, clawing for his six gun. Smoke hit him right between the eyes with the hickory club. Smoke grabbed the first one he'd hit and tossed him through the big window. Smoke backhanded another and sent him sprawling. Then the third 45 staggered to his feet, and Smoke sent him sailing out the bat wing. The one Smoke backhanded came to his feet, his face bloody and ugly, and one hand closing around the butt of his Colt. Smoke stepped forward and clubbed the man with one huge fist. Then he grabbed the man's gun arm and broke it by slamming it against the bars. Smoke dragged him outside and threw him in the dirt. Sheriff Black and his deputy stood on the other side of the wide main street and did not interfere.
I'll say this one time, mister. You and the rest of this trash here ride out of this part of Montana. Go back to the ranch, pack your kit, and ride out today. If I see you again, I'll kill you where you stand, and I won't give you 1 second's warning. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Ride!
The man managed to get his friends on their feet and on their horses. He left town without looking back. Smoke went back into the saloon and tossed money on the bar.
This'll pay for the busted window and the chair. Give me a beer.
Smoke was sitting down, sipping his brew, when the sheriff walked in and over to the table. He sat down and stared at Smoke for a moment.
You do understand that you just whipped four pretty tough old boys.
So?
You think they'll really haul their ashes?
They'll either pull out or be buried here. I meant what I said.
I could wire the territorial governor and have him send the state militia in.
Go ahead.
That wouldn't stop you, would it?
No.
You're really gonna kill my brother, aren't you?
First, I'm gonna bring him to his knees.
That'll never happen.
You wanna bet?
Clint Black sat in the study of his fine home and pondered his future. At the moment, it did not appear to be very bright. He had seen the four punchers come riding in, all beat up to hell and back, and watched as Judd paid them off and they left, taking their broken ribs and busted arms and tore up faces and hauling their ashes out of the country. It did not sit well with the other hands. That Jensen had whipped four pretty rough old boys in a fight shocked the rancher. He'd whipped two men at a time more than once, but four men? Nobody whips four men at a time. But Jensen had done it. And then, according to what Clint had heard from spies in town, Jensen just calmly sat down and had himself a beer with the sheriff. Clint Black had made a mistake by attacking the campsite, and he admitted it. He's sorry he'd done it. He was genuinely sorry about it. But he wasn't sorry enough about it to admit it to any court of law. Clint certainly was sorry, but not for the right reasons. So what if some $40 a month cowhands and some snot-nosed kids had been killed? Big damn deal. Clint could buy people like that all day long. They were nothing. Nobodies. But Clint didn't know what to do. He couldn't admit to his part in the attack. At worst, he'd be hanged. At best, he'd be run out of the country. Now Jensen had made his brags that he was going to put Clint on his knees. Well, that had been tried before. Clint was still standing tall while the men who tried to bring him down were rotting in the grave. And Jensen moved fast. Already carpenters were banging away inside and outside the new First United Bank of Blackstown. And Clint had heard rumblings that most of his depositors were going to pull out once the new bank opened. That wouldn't hurt him. The bank was solvent. It was a losing face that bothered Clint. Worse than that, it was a slap in his face. All in all, Clint concluded, Smoke Jensen was becoming a royal pain in the butt.
What happened to the man who owned the spread?
The herd had been rounded up and moved to Double D land. Clint had yet to replace those cattle that had been lost. Indeed, nothing had been heard from the man or any of his hands, and it was a week past the fight in the saloon.
The rustlers. Every time he'd get his herd built up, night riders would come in and wipe him out. He finally gave up and sold out. But not to Clint, and that really galled Black. Boss, have you given any thought to grabbing one of the Circle 45 bunch and making him talk?
Torture Stoney? No. For a lot of reasons. In Bullstown, it'd be his word against 40 others. It wouldn't even come to court. I've got all summer. We'll just keep whittling away at Clint, nipping at his heels and being a splinter in his butt that he can't get out. I'll get to him. He'll eventually lose his temper and make that one big mistake.
And then, boss?
And then, he'll face me.